This podcast is brought to you by Pastor Terry Green and Celebration Church in Salinas, California. For more information, you can visit us on our website at celebrationchurchsalinas.cc.
Father, we just thank you for your holy word. I thank you, Lord, that you're going to minister to us through me today. Anoint the words of my mouth that have come from the meditations of my heart. I praise you for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, hallelujah. Everybody say relationships. God initiated relationships. After all, it's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It's three of them together. Amen. Three in one. There was fellowship before time was. There'll be fellowship now and fellowship when there is time is no more. It is not good for man to be alone. That's what God said in the book of beginnings. And it was at a time when there was a perfect relationship between God and man. It was just God and Adam. The fall, sin had not entered into their life, into his life, into Adam's life. And yet, even with that perfect idyllic relationship, God said, it's still not good for man to be alone. And so he created woman. Now listen to me. What does that tell you? It's not enough just for you and God. I don't need anybody but God. That's not what God said. God, in a perfect relationship that Adam had with God and God had with Adam before the fall, God said, you still need fellowship. You still need somebody to help you. You need a helpmate. And God created woman. Listen, it is not good for man to be alone. I'm going to say it one more time. You can't walk in the Christian life in obedience to the word if you walk isolated. Somebody say amen. Isolation was not promoted or encouraged except for private prayer. In the Old Testament and New Testament, God encouraged private prayer. And the secret places where we shut the door and it's just me and God, you and God. But it is a balance. But it's far more important that you realize that whatever God gives you in your privacy with him, he wants you to take out and share with somebody else. And we need each other. God never intended for us to be alone. We see relationships all over the Bible. There was Abraham and Lot. There was Ruth and Naomi, Elijah and Elisha, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. There was Mary, Martha, Jesus, and Lazarus. There was Paul and Priscilla and Aquila. There was Jesus, Peter, James, and John. And there was Paul and Timothy, and Paul and Barnabas and John Mark, and on I could go. There were mentoring relationships. There were groups relationship. There was one-on-one relationship. There were couples that ministered to each other. There were father-in-law. There was father-in-law. There was father and son. There was mother-in-law and daughter-in-law. It just goes on and on and on. There were spiritual mothers and spiritual fathers. Paul said, you have many teachers, but you have need of fathers. And so God says, we need help. We are not meant to be alone. If you believe that, say yes. We must choose the right relationships. You are a product, I am a product, good or bad, of the relationships that we have been a part of. I am a product of my environment. You're a product of your environment. It's important who we dwell with. You show me your friends, and I'll show you your future. God is interested in who you spend time with and who your friends are. I want to share with you the story of David. I got into it a little bit last week. He was the shepherd king. To illustrate how God points us towards friendships and relationships that are helpful to us in our walk with Christ. David started at the very bottom of the totem pole. He was the last of eight sons. He was often forgotten. Nothing about him was visibly special to his family. Everybody say, to his family. But God had a plan. Look in Acts 13, verse 22. After removing Saul, God made David Israel's king. God testified concerning him. I have found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. He will do everything I want him to do, or I have planned for him to do. David went from being isolated and alone to being a king and leading people and being a man after God's own heart. How did he do that? How did he do that? How did God pick David? Why did God pick David? How did he go from being isolated to being a king? Number one, he had a friendship with God. He was acquainted with God. And then God gave him relationship with others. He was alone in the field and he got to know God. But he was despised taken lightly is what the word despised means, by his own family. His family didn't value him. The immediate community didn't value him. They were not looking to him. They were looking to his seven brothers. They were the mighty men. They were the warriors. They were the educated. They were the charismatic. Here was this little ruddy-faced man, young man in the fields, but he spent time with God. But everybody say with me, God has a plan. He provided David with relationships that would define his destiny and help him get there. How did he get there? Through relationships. Say, through relationships. It was this same kind of relationship that God gave David that he wants to give to you. He wants to give to me. He's prepared them for you. There are people in your life and there are people who have not come into your life that God ordained should be in your life. If you believe that, say amen. He will send you people to encourage you, to get you from isolation and being disdained and being detested and being unimportant in everybody else's sight, and cause you to be the person he created you to be. I know the thoughts and the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Not thoughts of calamity and disaster, but thoughts that will give you a future and a hope. See, how many believe God has a plan for you? If you don't believe that, you don't believe that Jesus rose from the dead. Somebody say amen. Say it with me. He's got plans for me. And it doesn't include being isolated, and it doesn't include not being totally grown into the fulfillment God has created you to grow into. God sent relationships. He surrounded David with relationships, and he'll surround you with relationships. First, God sent a Samuel to a David. God sent the prophet Samuel to the young King David, the young shepherd David. 1 Samuel 16, 12 through 13. So he sent for him and had him brought in. He was glowing with health and had a fine appearance and handsome features. Now the picture is that Samuel's come to anoint a new king over Israel, because God has said Saul is being removed from the kingship because he has disappointed, he's been disobedient, and he's become arrogant, and he's become just rebellious in every way. And so God knows that he's chosen David, but nobody else knows that. You may be a ruler and a leader, and nobody else may know it. You may not even know it yourself, but you have a need to discover who God has created you to be. Your identity doesn't come from your past. It doesn't come from your environment. It comes from heaven, and it comes from Jesus, because before you were in your mother's womb, he knew you, he created you, he had a plan for you, and that's the plan you need to discover. And so we see that all of David's brothers are lined up, and Samuel's lined them up, and he's trying to anoint, and the oil will not pour out from the vessel. The oil represented God's blessing, God's chosen anointed. It is his enablement, and it would not pour out over. It literally would not pour out of the vessel. That, as Samuel says, "Are you the one? Are you the one?" Right down the line to all these brothers. He says, "Is this the only people that you have in your family?" He says, "No, there's this little boy out in the field. Says, bring him to me." And so when he came, he sent for him and had him brought in. He was glowing with health and had a fine appearance and handsome features. Then the Lord said, "Rise and anoint him. This is the one." Say it with me. Rise and anoint him. This is the one. So Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers, and the oil poured out. And from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David. Samuel then went to Ramah. Rise and anoint him. This is the one. God used the prophet Samuel to call out the best in an unknown, unheralded, overlooked, despised, lightly esteemed boy named David. God called out the best in him. God wants to call out the best in every one of you here today. Point number one, friends call out the best in each other. Friends call out the best in each other. God has appointed a friend for you to be a friend for life, to be a friend throughout all your life, and to call out the best in you. There's quite enough people to tell you what you've done wrong. There are quite enough people to put you down, whether you do right or wrong. But God's called people to you that will always be a friend. It is in the presence and the image of Jesus. Jesus is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. When your brother forsakes you, Jesus never forsakes you. Somebody say amen. And he's got people that he's sending your way. Say, sending my way, to encourage you and to be a friend for life. And he certainly had not had anything in his life, David I'm talking about, that would have encouraged him. You see, David may never have believed such a thing as being a king, a leader, a warrior about himself. And nobody had encouraged him. In fact, nothing much positive at all was ever spoken over David in his young life, in his friends and his acquaintances. Am I painting a picture? There are many of us that have come from just that kind of a background. Some of us have been blessed with people who nurtured us all of our life. But even in the midst of that, you can still feel alone. But God has people for you. Samuel saw something in David. God told Samuel, "This is the one that I'm anointing. I have chosen him." And the word says, and from that day forward, the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David. Let me share something with you. I believe with all my heart that until you submit to the relationships that God has for you, it may be a mentoring relationship that I pointed out in the word. It may be a relationship with a spiritual father, a spiritual mother. It may be a relationship with a friend that God gives you. Until you submit to those relationships, let me go a step further. I believe until you get to the place where you submit to being a part of the body of Christ, fitly joined together by that which every joint supplies, and doing what God has called you to do, you are not an island unto yourself. I believe. Until we make those steps, I do not believe that the anointing can fall on you. I do not believe that you can be completed in life. I do not believe that you can do what God's called you to do until you become a part of the body of Christ. Not just in name, but in deed. Not just by name, but in practice. And we need to learn from each other. How many of you know you can learn from each other? And from that day forward, the anointing came powerfully upon David. There is an anointing that comes upon you when you take a step from being isolated to going out and saying, I'm vulnerable, but God is with me. And I don't want to stay where I am. I'm going forward. And hear me, you cannot move in the kingdom of God unless you learn to walk and minister amongst people. And that means being ministered unto as well. Well, I'm not a preacher. I'm not a teacher. No, you're a friend. And you're an encourager. And you need a friend. And you need to be encouraged. Somebody say amen. We need to go to our friends that we trust and are confidential. We need to confess our sins one to another. Somebody say amen. I've fallen and I need some help. And you don't need condemnation. You need somebody to say, I'm in your corner. I love you. I know God loves you. And God's not giving up on you. And I'm not giving up on you. And what you're doing is not right. And what's coming at you, we're not going to stand for. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in this world. And I'm here to tell you, if you never, ever get well, I'm going to be on your side. How many of you need a friend like that? Let me see your hands. Be honest, you. Hallelujah. God never intended for us to be by ourselves. To me, that blesses me. Does it bless you? Hallelujah. I had mentors as a young man, as I said last week. I had people that ministered to me. I was the absolute, you think I'm bad now, I was the absolute biggest mess you ever saw in your life. I have no confidence. I could not speak. I could talk a blue streak, but you get me up in the crowd and I go, you get me in a crowd and I'm the guy sitting on the back row, comes in late and leaves early. They call me a ninja. I revert. Every time I get out of this pulpit, I don't want to be seen. I don't want to be heard. But you know what? I found out I can't help anybody by shutting up and acting like I'm not there. Are you listening to me? And it's amazing. The more I give of myself, the better I feel about me. The more I give of myself, I went in not feeling good. I went in half discouraged. They don't know it. I encourage them. When you do what God's called you to do, there's an anointing that comes on you to do it. I said there's an enablement that comes on you to do it. The oil pours out, and I can help you when I need help worse than you do. But when I help you, coming from a place of sacrifice, the anointing not only flows out on me to help you, the anointing flows out on me to help me. When I help you, I'm being helped. Say amen. We need to quit. You know what? We live in a society. My gosh, Lord, help us. I pray in Jesus' name. We live in a society where, as I said last week, there are more phones than toilets in the world. That's a pitiful illustration. But why is it that we don't talk on the phone like we used to? I don't talk to people. They text me. I hate texting. Texting's from demons. There's no personality in it. I don't mind business. Yeah, okay, good, good. But when we're trying to work out a problem or we're trying to get relationship, I don't need a text. I need to talk to you. You need to talk to me. I need to spend some time with you. You need to spend some. Oh, somebody help me here. My God, what will be next? We text our wife trying to make up. I've done it many times, actually. I want to see my wife one-on-one. When she's on the phone, she nails me, man. She gets anointed. Amen. Hallelujah. Are you still with me? Say amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I have mentors. And they called out the best in me, even when others didn't see it or want to see it. Hallelujah. And I eventually became a mentor to others. I became a mentor to young men. I became a mentor to men my age. I became a mentor to men older than me. Randy Hahn, who was here a few weeks ago. How many of you know Randy? Let me see your hand. Laid hands on everybody in the third service. We were here till 3 in the afternoon. Pastors a church of thousands. Pastors a church that has many campuses. He's over churches that are some 30, 40, 50 churches in the Philippines. Randy calls me his Samuel because I sensed something in him when he was a young boy. God saying to me, this is the one. I've anointed him. You call him out. You call out the best in him. And I went through the proper channels, and I wanted him to be a youth pastor. He'd never been one as far as I know. Even when others around him didn't see it, perhaps, God said something inside of me. There's something about that kid. The kid you met at youth camp. You saw what he did, but what really happened is there was something that clicked between me and him. We are polar opposites. Polar opposites. I mean, everything he does, I can't. Everything I can do, he can't. He couldn't preach a lick when he started. I had him on as a youth pastor, and I brought him up and had him speak, and they go, when's he going to start preaching? I say, he's almost done, man. They couldn't see what God saw in him. They couldn't see what I saw in him. When I got up and heard him preach, I said, my God, he's got principle. He's here at 6 in the morning. He's praying before everybody gets up. He had the greatest youth camp we've ever had in our church. I had a speaker, Roy Spinks, one of my lifelong friends. He came back. He preached for him at the youth camp. And he says, I've never seen anything like it. Everything ran like clockwork. There was an anointing there. He had those kids praying. He had the leaders leading. It was amazing. He's got leadership qualities. I said, I know. I didn't know. God knew. But there was something inside of me that says, that's the one. I called the anointing on him. You call out the anointing on him. You give him a place. Somebody help me this morning. Hallelujah. I'm here to tell you, if God's got a Samuel for Randy, he's got a Samuel for you. If God's got a Samuel for me, he's got a Samuel for you. And then if you can be helped by a Samuel, God will make you into a Samuel. Say, iron sharpens iron. Hallelujah. 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 God has a Paul for your Timothy. God has a Barnabas for your John Mark. Son of encouragement. Barnabas means son of encouragement. As I said to you a few weeks ago, I almost named our church the Barnabas Church, the Church of Encouragement. God wants to encourage you, and he's got somebody to do it for you. God's got a Mary for you, ladies. God's got an Elizabeth for you, ladies. God's got a Deborah for you, ladies. Hallelujah. God has a Mary for you. She saw in Jesus something nobody else saw. Son, we've run out of wine. Hallelujah. She remembered back when he was 12, and he says, I must be about my father's business. When he taught in the synagogues, and they said, who is this? And Mary says, is this my son? And he says, I must be about my father's business. And she contemplated it in her heart. She remembered what the angel said. He says, in your belly is born the Savior. And she contemplated those things in her heart. And so she knew things by the Holy Spirit about her son Jesus, the one that the brothers all despised, took lightly. Even after he was called into the ministry, began to heal the sick and raise the dead, they still despised him. In Nazareth, he could do no mighty works where he was born and raised, because familiarity breeds contempt. And though those you've been raised with may not see the power of God in you, Mary had something in her heart. She was a mentor to him. Somebody say amen. And she says, son, we've run out of wine. He says, my time has not yet come. And she says, all I know is there's a need, and I know you can meet it because there's an anointing on you. Oh, hallelujah. I sense God here this morning. There's an anointing on every one of you here this morning. I said there's an enablement and a plan on every one of you. It's not just when you're 20 or 40. It's when we get older. We should be more anointed when we're older than we were when we were younger. I'm telling you. And he said, Lord, Father. And he says, do it. His time had not yet come. But there was a need and there was faith. And Mary expressed it. And then Jesus turned the water into wine. And from there, he went on to do great and mighty things. And there's so much there. But the truth is that you have somebody appointed for you in your daily walk that sees God in you and can call out the best in you. Somebody say yes. God has a friend for you. And that's what we do when we get together. That's what we do in small groups. That's what we do in Dream Team. That's what we do in 2SM. That's what we do in AE. That's what we do in the music ministry. That's what we do in the tech crew. It's what we do. When you're working together, you build relationships, bridges of friendships, where you can confide, where you can encourage. Somebody say amen. It's time to gravitate to the people that God has called you to run with. It's time to sever or redefine harmful relationships. Hallelujah. Put that up there. It's time to sever or redefine harmful relationships. Proverbs 13:20. Walk with the wise and become wise. Associate with fools and get in trouble. Some of you guys need to be around men who will encourage you. You don't have to flirt at work. Somebody needs to encourage you and remind you that Proverbs 5 is still for today. Run as far from her, run as far from that man as you can get. If you have to quit your job, if you have to leave this town, if you have to pick up your family and go, you do it because that woman or that man is going to lead you to hell. It's time to sever relationships that are not healthy. Somebody say amen. Hallelujah. No flirting. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 15:33. You can flirt with women, you can flirt with men, or you can flirt with sin of any kind. But you're taking your life in your hands. Proverbs says it's like an adder. It's like a woman that is beautiful, and casual sex is fine. Casual drugs is fine. Casual television is fine. No, it all leads to death and to destruction and will take you down into the pit. Is that too hard? It's truth. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. 1 Corinthians 15, 15:33. Do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. Bad company corrupts good character. You are who you run with. Get away from the wild bunch, guys. They're only popular for a little while, young people, and then they're destroyed and very unpopular. Some of the guys that you've partied with 5 years from now, you've changed their life. They haven't. Nobody will know their name, and you won't hear from them again. And 30 years later, you'll find out that they either died young or they're on Skid Row, on their fifth or sixth marriage. Are you listening to me? Let's surround ourselves with people who are speaking the life of God over you and move forward. This is what you'll find everywhere that you go, in this house and in this place. This is a place of connection. I say it and I declare it. This is a place of connection. When you guys ask us for dinner, I'm thrilled. I'm still waiting. Amen. Hallelujah. I like food and I like fellowship. Not necessarily in that order. Amen. I like the food. I'm glad when I go over to people's house, they feed me first and fellowship later. I don't fellowship well when I'm still hungry. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm just kidding you guys. Not really. It's what small groups are about. Encouraging people to discover their God-given identity and destiny. God has a plan for you. Proverbs 27:17, I already quoted it. As iron sharpens iron, so a friend sharpens a friend. See, we know iron sharpens iron, but so a friend sharpens a friend. You know, we think, well, iron sharpens iron. That means, well, they're going to correct me. Yeah, that's true. There's a whole section in this message on how God sends us people to speak the truth into us. But you know what? Iron sharpening iron can mean when you're about done and you're about to throw in the towel and you think you're worthless, a friend will sharpen you by saying, you're worth much. I see victory in you. I see power in you. I see anointing in you. I see future in you. It's not what I think or what you think. It's what God knows. Are you listening to me? Are you listening to me? I want to be an arrow in your hands. You said that to us, but you said it to God, and God heard it. And he'll never take you where he can't please you. As you please him, he'll please you. It will be beyond what you think or imagine. The peace, the joy, you've gotten a taste of it, and you're starting to step out in ways that maybe you weren't comfortable. But you watch. God has so much more. So much more. I'm going to quote to you what a lady quoted to me about me and my family. If you could only see it, you can't imagine it. You can't imagine it. I could miss it, but I didn't plan any of this. And I know the Lord is speaking over you. And I call the anointing to flow over you because I call out the best in both of you. There's no pressure. There's just God's blessing and opportunity. Hallelujah. 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 And he'll do it for you. And he'll do it for you. And he'll do it for you. Oh, don't think you've come this way by chance. You have not come this way by chance. As you stay the course and do what I've called you to do, you're on my timetable. I have every one and every person and every blessing already prepared for you. I saw the past. I see the present. But I see the future. And it's bright, says the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 What is that? That's just a word of prophetic encouragement. God will send you people to encourage you. Lift your hands and praise him if you believe it right now. Just declare, Lord, I receive that for my own life. I'm not so prideful I can't receive help. Lord, I'm ready. When I need it most, you're there for me, Father. You're there for me. Friendships can and will define your life. Many of you were introduced to your mates, to your ministries, to your careers by friends. Hallelujah. God strengthens you through friendship. Friends strengthen each other. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't have time to finish. God sent Jonathan to David, 30 years his senior. Jonathan was supposed to be the king after Saul, but God said, I have removed Saul from the anointing of kingship, and I placed it on this little shepherd boy. That meant Saul would no longer be king, and he fought it. He had become rebellious. He had become arrogant. His son Jonathan, who was 30 years older than David, was in line to follow his father as king, but he heard the word of the Lord. There's been a lot of smack talk about David and Jonathan, whether they were homosexual or not. The world is so full, and we're so full of cynicism, that we don't see a godly relationship that is like Jesus. I'll be a friend that sticks closer than a brother. They both respected God. They both were married. They both had children. They both would never do anything that would send their souls to hell. They would come back to God. If they did, it would have continued and followed him wherever they went. But they didn't. He was a mighty man of God. When it came right down to it, Jonathan stood by his father and died. He says, he told David, you'll be king and I will follow and assist you. But he stood by his father and died. David never forgot Jonathan. He never forgot Jonathan's family. Friendship lasts forever. If you've got two or three close friends, I do. I'm not asking you to do things about stepping out into small groups, stepping out into friendship, being a mentor, being mentored. I have friends that I can go to. I don't come to you guys. Some things I do. I trust so many of you here. But I don't go. I'm supposed to lead and be an example. But how many of you know we're all human? And I have friends like Randy Hand, like Roy Spinks, that I go to. And we confess our sins one to another before we do them and if we've done them. I confess them to God, but how many of you know you need friends that'll say, I still believe in you and God believes in you, because we're so prone to be full of guilt and condemnation, far more than our Father's willing to put on us. He never puts condemnation on us. He'll put sweet conviction to draw us into the presence and to rise and be healed and to go forth in victory. But we and the devil want to talk us out of it. That's why he sent me a friend. My wife is my best friend. I've told her what I've done. I've confessed my sins to her. But there's sometimes when she's had enough. Hello? So I pick up the phone and say, hey, man, what's happening? They said, oh, this, that, and the other. I say, how are you? I say, well, that's why I called. They said, let me have it. It was my turn last week, last month, last year. You understand what I'm saying? Look at me. He never designed you to be isolated and alone. You can't do this by yourself. And the good news is, you don't have to. Hallelujah. That's all the time we have. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. It's time for some of us to take that plunge. It's time for some of you to step out of your isolation. It's time for some of you to let God help you through a Jonathan, through a Barnabas, through an Elizabeth, through a Ruth and a Naomi. He has friends for you. Small groups is the way that many of you have been designed to begin to develop in ways that you haven't even thought or imagined yet. Just by sharing. Just by being an encouragement. By showing up. Getting over your lack of comfort. Amen. If I can go and tell Randy Hand, I was your Samuel, but now you're mine. The Lord showed me, surely as he showed me that there was something on you that was special, and I needed to bring you in and help develop you. He's also showing me now, 20 years later, that there's something on you still, and it can help me, and I'm coming to you. And ever since I submitted to that relationship, as awkward as it could have been, the anointing has flowed over me like it never flowed before. And the best is yet to come. Hallelujah. Step out. Jump in. Get involved. None of this is going to help if you don't go out there and get that sheet and call. And you can try two or three groups. We don't care. They don't care. Are you listening? If one fit doesn't fit, go to another one. They're not going to get their feelings hurt. You know why? They know they're called to somebody. And you're called to somebody. Father, in Jesus' name, to somebody who doesn't know you, Father, I need you right now. I repent of my sins. Come into my heart. Make me to be yours. I want to be led by you, taught by you, healed by you. Identify me who you intended me to be. Let me discover my future in you. I place my trust in you now. I receive you as Savior and Lord. And Father, I'm here and I want to go forward. Teach me that I'm not alone. I cannot and will not be isolated. I choose. Let the oil be poured out over me as I submit to new friendships in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.
This podcast is brought to you by Pastor Terry Green and Celebration Church in Salinas, California. For more information, you can visit us on our website at celebrationchurchsalinas.cc.